Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Birdcast, the official podcast of Wartburg Athletics. This is Sports Information Director Trent Jackson here with you again, and I'm excited to have Assistant Athletic Director and Head Track and Field Coach Marcus Newsom on episode 7 of the Birdcast. This is definitely a unique episode relative to our normal podcast conversations, as Coach Newsom and I talked a lot about his remarks during an anti-racism vigil on June 17th in Waverly. And that was in light of some recent circumstances going on in our world, and I thought it was important to have a strong speaker and passionate personality like Marcus on the podcast to continue to have some of those difficult conversations, and hopefully using the podcast as a powerful platform to do so. We also chatted about how this may relate to some of the mental and physical battles of a sport like track and field, and athletics in general. And of course, we talked a lot about Marcus's background. So also, I just wanted to mention that about halfway into the conversation, the microphone unfortunately picked up some type of ringing noise. Still a beginner at this the technical side of this podcasting endeavor, so hope you can try to ignore that and still enjoy our conversation. And thank you again for listening. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Good. Yeah, so today we're going to have a little bit of a different episode of the Birdcast, and I invited Coach Newsom here to join me and, you know, speak about some anti-racism and some social injustice, social change. And I think, you know, athletics is an important platform on our campus, so I think it's productive to have one of our leaders to continue that conversation. So, Marcus, and that's relating to some of your remarks last week, so that was June 17th, last Wednesday at Coleman Park. It was a great night for you to have a prayer, and there was an awesome turnout. So just tell me about the goal of that message, and for those who weren't able to make it that night, just fill us in on some of your words that night.
Well, the goal, you know, after being a part of this community now, I'm going on 27 years, like I said, Stephanie and I has chosen to raise our children in the Waverly, I would say Waverly-Wartburg community. And so I just really felt like it was extremely important for me to really bring our community together, to acknowledge what has happened, not just with George Floyd, but what has happened across our country, in many states. And I really felt like it was important, after living and being a part of this Waverly-Wartburg community, that I brought our community together to pay our respects, but also begin the open, honest conversation about racism. Mm-hmm. And I think it was very important for our community to understand that even my youngest son at age 11 and our oldest son at age 19 and our middle one at 15 has had unfortunate experiences with racism. And I really want people to understand that Waverly, Wartburg, is not free of what I know as the sin of racism is, and the impact it has on our country's life, our city of Waverly, as well as our campus of Wartburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really just a powerful message. Didn't know really what to think, and I just walked outside, and it was a gorgeous night, and I felt really comforted to walk right down and be right along some of our colleagues here at Wartburg, and walked away feeling really lifted and moved. So that's why I reached out to you, so we can sort of continue this conversation. So one of my takeaways, I remember a comment that you made about, if you're feeling uncomfortable ask yourself why. And it made me really think, but I'm still, I don't know. And I think that's moving in the right direction of being able to think about that. So what did you mean by that?
What I meant by that is, you know, if the discussion of racism has made one feel uncomfortable. When I said you have to ask yourself why is it, why does it make you feel uncomfortable? The important piece of that question is it's not someone else telling you to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's you really making I statements. And that's something I said about making I statements. When we make I statements, it's coming from us. It's our words. It's who, what our feelings are. No one else is telling you you have to feel this way. No one else is saying or putting the blame on you. It's you self-evaluating where you're at in terms of racism. And so if that makes you feel uncomfortable, then you have to question, why is it that I feel uncomfortable? What am I doing or what am I not doing? How can I help to make change? At what point am I going to feel comfortable with asking questions about how I can make change? And once we get to the point where we can personalize it, no matter what our skin color is, no matter who we are or our culture, but when we get start personalizing it and it become personal, then we can then be part of the change. And it's no longer the problem of African Americans or blacks, right? It's all of our problem.
Yeah.
Right. And I believe we have seen that shift, right, in the protest. It's a pretty awesome experience to see that the support of our white brothers and sisters are supporting our black brothers and sisters. And that's powerful in itself, right? And that gives us a lot of hope. But that can't just stop with the protest. That can't just stop just with the group of individuals or the supporters of the protest of Black Lives Matter. It has to be ingrained within us in our day-to-day life, in which also I said, you can't wish this away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
African Americans, black people have lived with this our entire life, right? And so this is not something that we can wish away. This is something that's flat out in front of us. If I'm preparing my 11-year-old and I prepared my 15-year-old and my 19-year-old to have this in front of them their entire life, why? For the protection of their life. Then us as grown adults, right, no matter who we are, should be able to keep this in front of us to make change.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that was one of my biggest takeaways. And I think it was just so simple of a statement, or just asking yourself why. And I thought, like you mentioned, like just personal thoughts or making change that way instead of wishing away. I found myself over the weekend, I was like, all right. Even that simple statement made me think about so many more things, and just thinking about what we can talk about this morning to help continue and grow that conversation. So, and for the listeners that weren't able to hear Marcus's words, you can find that on like the Warburg Track and Field's Instagram account, and that handle is just Warburg TF on Instagram. So, what has some of the feedback been for you that you received throughout our community?
I've received some incredible feedback. I really have. I felt it was very, very important in my heart. You know, I grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. My mother, as well as my grandmother, who was born and raised in the South in Louisiana, our family is one. That's a very spiritual family that grew up to love the Lord, and that has really helped me. That's really helped our family really work through some tough times in dealing with racism. And so, I really felt like it was important for me to contact my pastor, Arthur Bergen, from St. Paul's, and asked him for some help and assistance in helping us contact the rest of the clergy in the community. And that's how we started. And I will tell you, Pastor Arthur, he's an awesome man with an awesome heart. And he really was kind of emotional when I contacted him, because he said for me to see him and view him as an ally was incredibly powerful. And I do. He's a man of God, but I know he has this huge heart and commitment towards being just to one another and having a caring heart. And so, so I would say that, some of the positive aspects of last Wednesday was just seeing our community come together.
Yeah.
The way it did. Yeah. Right. Our oldest son Mosiah is at Nebraska, and he watched it live, and he was pretty just kind of emotionally wowed by the number of people that he saw there present, which made us all proud of our community, right? For us to be able to come together to acknowledge that this is not a big city problem, right? That Waverly is not free from the sin of racism. And so I would say the positives is the way the community came out. Mm-hmm. I would also say the positives is just what your response was. Mm-hmm. Just a few minutes ago. I mean, that's to me, that's God doing his work, man. You know, and that was my prayer is that I wanted God to use me to do his work for us all to ask ourselves, why?
Yeah.
Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Or what has prevented me from stepping in and interrupting racism, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do, but sometimes it can be very easy. If we could all put ourselves in that person's place, all right, or put our children in that person's place, mm-hmm. right? And so when we do that, there's this natural human side of goodness that we all have in ourselves. That we say we can't allow that to continue to happen, right? We can't allow ourselves, to not step in. So I really feel like our community, everyone in our community is now actively, consciously thinking and questioning where they're at and why they're where they're at. And now I think really good work can begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a time of where the media or any of those stuff really want to promote that division, it was a night to promote unity, and that was very productive. And I think we all walked away feeling that. So that was awesome. But outside of coaching here at Warburg, I know you've also been involved with some like the minority recruitment and some diversity groups. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how that's kind of added to your experience here.
Well, you know, a big part of who I am is really being raised by a single parent, strong Christian woman, who empowered me to be who I am. Didn't have, unfortunately, it was late in my life where me and my dad kind of built a relationship. But, you know, my dad was a Vietnam veteran. My dad was also a Black Panther. I knew a lot about my history, right? Number of books in my home teaching me about who I was as a Black man and the history. My grandmother was big in the civil rights movement. That's part of who I am, right? And being involved initially when I first arrived at Wartburg, as you know, I was a director of diversity recruitment at the time. That was important to me. One of the things my mom said to me was, I don't care where God plants your feet, is where you're supposed to be. Just promise me you will make sure that more African-American students, more Black students will get an opportunity that you received, and that's to get their education at a private Lutheran institution. My undergrad was at Bethany College in Lynchburg, Kansas, private Lutheran institution. And the man that was responsible for me being successful there outside of athletics was Rick Torgerson, who was started off teaching here in the biology department. And eventually he was acting president of Bethany College, and he retired as the president of Luther College. But he was a vice president of development here at Wartburg. I will tell you, he was a man that really taught me how to celebrate who I am and share myself with others. Not hide who I was, you know, not try to put me in this box. Him and Judy and the boys, Corey and Brennan, they really celebrated me as an African-American young man going to college in Western Kansas at a Lutheran school, you know. That's one of the reasons how I ended up at Wartburg, was because he came back here as a VP before he left to go to Gustavus and then finish at Luther College. Uh-huh. But I can tell you he was a man who I respected, who I valued, who valued me. He always told me to be who your mom have raised and to be who God wants you to be. And don't ever... Don't ever sacrifice that for someone else, to make someone else feel good, right? So diversity, that's who I am, man. I got a long history of that. It's important for me to follow through with my promise to my mom, and that is to make sure that in the positions I've been in the colleges, making sure that our students at Wartburg or my track and field team at Wartburg gets a complete education. What I mean by a complete education, you're only getting half of an education when the classroom doesn't depict what our world looks like, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so my track and field athletes are only getting a half of an experience or education when their team doesn't look diverse. It's not diverse, right? I want them to get a complete education of what this gift that God has given us, right? And God has given us this beautiful picture of men and women, boys and girls, black and white, brown, proud cultures and ethnic backgrounds. And I want, and I'm committed to my track and field student athletes getting that complete experience, because they're all going to grow in this incredible, incredible manner. That's so important to me as the head coach here, or when I was a director of diversity recruitment. At the same time, I want that to be supported by the institution I work at, and I want that to be supported by my colleagues, which was, again, really, really powerful to see my colleagues on last Wednesday, and other community members in the community together.
Yeah. Well, like I touched on, part of your message is maybe really just think a lot about why and whatnot. I'm just trying to think of, well, how we can kind of relate that to track and field. And I kept coming back to the idea of like running, how the work that we can be doing for personal growth kind of parallels running. I say that because they're both like a day-to-day practice, learning from experiences. Do you think that's a good comparison?
I think it's a great comparison. Yeah. I think it's, you know, in the sport of track and field, it's day-to-day running. It's day-to-day working through technique, being a good hurdler, being a good jumper, being a good thrower. It's day-to-day technique, right? It's day-to-day evaluation, mm-hmm. right? And reevaluation, right? And that's what living in a diverse world should allow us, or give us the privilege to do, right? You know, every training session as a track and field athlete is going to be different. Mm-hmm. There's days you go out for a run and you feel good, right? And there's days you go out and start the first half of it is a struggle, right? Well, guess what? That's what life is.
Yeah.
And that's what's the day-to-day evaluation and day-to-day struggle is something that as a black man I have to do every single day. There's not a day that doesn't go by. There's not a morning that I don't wake up, or night, evening that I'm going to bed, where I'm having to evaluate and reevaluate or prepare for the next day and prepare for the unknown of the next day. I have to be ahead of myself to prepare how to handle that situation, circumstance. And to me, that's what living in a diverse world, or being celebrated for who you are, is all about. And we all should constantly be doing that. But unfortunately, what we've seen happen in our society, certain people don't feel like that is that's their responsibility, mm-hmm. and that's why we're where we're at.
Yeah. Well, since early spring of 2020, I mean, Wartburg and Wartburg Track and Field has been through a lot. Whether, you know, starting from, you know, when you guys were out in North Carolina, unfortunately, indoor championships were canceled, and then going on from there, and there, what's been happening with our world. So, I'm curious what some of the dialogue has been with your student athletes.
Well, the first thing is that when this first happened, I felt in my heart that I needed to send out a email to our entire team, including our seniors who are graduating, including our returners, as well as including our incoming freshman class. It was so very, very important to me to send out a message to them, just letting them know that our world is hurting, and letting them know that many of their teammates are hurting, right? And you know, after having a number of conversations with current students who's tremendously hurting, and current alumni, right, who are hurting, or alumni who's reaching out to me saying, "Coach, I'm sorry, I want to help. How can I help?" Well, by them reaching out saying, "I want to help. How can I help?" By them reaching out and wanting to talk through.
For caring.
For caring.
Yeah.
That's the start of helping.
Yeah.
I've been so humbled of receiving phone calls. You know, this is start of year 27 for me. Received phone calls from student athletes back in, who graduated my first year here in 94. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we've had some in-depth conversation. They're parents now.
Mm-hmm.
They're parents. I had an in-depth conversation with an alum who said, because of my experience at Warburg, my children are having and will have a different experience than I did as a child, because what today I know,
yeah, wow,
in terms of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, "Coach, that didn't come from the classroom. That came from being a part of the Warburg track and field family." And I was so humbled. I was so my heart was happy to hear her say that. And that was in 19, my first year, right? And so there's been some really good conversations that I've had with current students and with alumni. So that was my first, you know, right away. It was extremely important to me. And then to have the conversation too, right away with our coaching staff. These are conversations that I have had with our coaching staff before. These are conversations, I live my life the same, no matter, where I'm at, right? I'm a black man. It's not going to change, right? Yeah, I'm Coach Newsom, but I'm a black man, right? I guess some people would say that, you know, I'm a... have been a successful coach, right? But I'm a black man, right? And so my day-to-day life doesn't change. It stays the same. No matter what position I'm in, whether I'm a youth football coach in the community, right? Or whether I'm volunteering in the community, or whether I'm out on the road recruiting for Warburg, no matter what, right? I'm a black man, right? As a dad of raising three biracial boys, I'm still a black man, right? And so I will tell you that it doesn't change for me. So who I am and who my mother raised is who I want to be. And I pray and hope that all and every student athlete that I've been fortunate and blessed to coach at Warburg have seen Coach Newsom just be himself and who my mother raised to be and not change. So,
and that's just a extremely passionate guy. If anyone's at the W here for an indoor meet, they can hear Coach Newsom. I think at my first meet, I heard your little post-meet speech. I was about ready to run through a wall for you guys. Where do you think that personality stems from?
That personality definitely stems from my mother.
That was my guess.
Yeah, without question. Strong Christian woman. Tough, man. Tough. But raised me in a very, very tough environment. I mean, when you talk about tough environment, we're talking about one of the highest homicide rates in the country as I was growing up. But my mother was bound and determined to make sure that I knew, my sister and I knew what our foundation was. And our foundation was God, right? There's this joke that we used to always say, me and my sister said that every time the church doors was open, we were in there doing something, yeah. Right? But that was my mother's way of understanding that she needed to plant the seed, and then that seed was going to grow even as we matured and grew up, right? And so, you know, that idea is that a child may stray away, but they know what their foundation is, so they're not going to stray too far away, right? My mother, that passion comes from my mother. She was so bound and determined to make sure the streets of Kansas City, Kansas didn't take her son and her daughter. That she poured that energy of that Christian development, and she poured that energy of that us being proud of who we are, but also poured that energy of saying that God loved us all, right? So I said this to someone last week, a reporter. You know, my mom, I grew up Baptist, but my mom sent me and my sister to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And then I graduated from a Lutheran college.
Yeah.
And now I work for a Lutheran college, now going on 27 years. Well, my mom taught me and my sister early on that no matter what your religion was, you're all working towards the same goal, and that's to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Right? So the service may be different. All right, but the end goal of the service is the same. So she used to always tell me, and my sister, you know, I used to remember going to Mass, right? We had to go to Mass at Catholic school. And she used to say to me, listen to the message, not just the messenger. The message. And I'm telling you what, you better knew what the message said. You better knew what the gist of the message said. And so that energy and that passion and that love for life and that love for people, that's my mother. That's her. You know, she never, ever boxed me and my sister. She pushed us. She supported us. We're a poor family, single parent. You know, she was trying to do it all by herself. I grew up knowing what a need was and what a want was. And in her mind, a need was making sure that we were involved in the church and in the community. And another need was making sure we got a good education. And the other need was making sure that we loved all, right? Loving all was her way of making sure that we were involved in a lot of different things. A lot of different sports, a lot of different community events, a lot of different camps, you know. That was her way of stretching that dollar and stretching that penny to that dollar to make sure she opened those doors up for us, even as a poor family.
Mm-hmm. Well, aside your mom, who were some of like the sports heroes or role models for you growing up?
You know, my youngest son asked me that the other day, okay. And I right away, you know, I said, man, as a football player, track guy, I loved Tony Dorsett, and so we had to look up who Tony Dorsett was. So I had to show him some highlights, right? The internet is great with that today. And Eric Dickerson, you know, those was my two favorite. I would say role models in terms of, you know, watching a student athlete or athlete, right, as a football player. You know, you can't be from the state of Kansas and and not love the Royals or the Chiefs, you know. So obviously, being a fan of sports, George Brett was my guy, you know. Everybody wanted to, you know, hit a ball out of the park like George Brett. And then obviously as a Chief, you know, when you think of the various Chiefs that made significant impact, you know, I can't just think of one because there was many that was involved in the community, the Kansas City community. You know, I think our Kansas City's always been that close-knit community, Missouri and Kansas, that loved the Chiefs. And so I would say that, you know, when you talk about, I guess, sport figures, you know, Eric Dickerson, Dorsett, as me being a running back in high school and college, those were two of my guys, you know. And I was a big fan, just a big fan of athletics in general. You know, it was a way in which really back then it was what you considered the optimist Boys and Girls Club, you know, that really made a significant impact in inner city, for inner city youth, to get out and be exposed to athletics.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
My mother. that is live every single day to its fullest, right? She used to always say to us, God gives us life, so live it. And even if that means something throughout the course of that day brought you to your knees, then pray about it. But when you get off your knees, push the restart button. Don't let it linger on. Don't let it take away from the rest of the day that you have. And so she taught me, God gives us life, so we must live it. And so that's how I go about my day-to-day life.
Yeah, I love that. Wrap up with last one here. Of all the, you know, tremendous success that Warburg Track and Field has accomplished, countless All-Americans, 8 national championships, is it possible to have any favorites of all those? Or I feel like each one has its particular story. Are there any ones that are at the top of the list?
You know, I would agree. Each one has its incredible, impactful stories in my life. But I would obviously, all of them. I mean, one of the things I've learned is that I wish that I would have spent more time enjoying each one of those national championships versus rushing to the next one, yeah. Right? Or not enjoying, because, man, it's hard. They're hard to come by, right? And so, but just watching those young ladies grow and watching those teams become families, right? And a lot of people threw around that family word, right? But I truly was able to be a part and witness some young ladies come in, break down those natural barriers that we all have, and truly come together as one family. And when you get a group of women from, you know, Chicago and, you know, Cedar Falls, Waterloo and Minneapolis and small rural communities of Iowa, you see them just grow and come together. It's just still to this day, I say those national championship teams, I saw God work at his best, because I saw God work through those young ladies, truly love and care for each other, and put selfishness outside of themselves for winning a championship. And so to me, it's really watching those young ladies grow. And then on the men's side, it would be, again, our first men's conference championship. I watched a group of young men just really come together, man. And still to this day, that group of young men still stay in contact with each other, right? I mean, from West Palm Beach, from New Hampton, Iowa, to, you know, I mean, those guys, Wapsie Valley, those guys still talk about those championships together. The key factor was, is that both those national, you know, those eight national championships and the conference championships on the men's side, I've watched them break down those natural barriers that the society says we have or we do possess, and they break those barriers down and they come together. But they came together because they really learned to value each other and value one another's experiences, and be able to interconnect that with one another. To me, that's so special, and that's what diversity does. Right, if we allow it to happen, and so to me, those championships wouldn't happen if we didn't have the heart of those women and the heart of those men that we had, truly embracing each other for who they are, and not maybe what they've learned about them. I mean, from outside, but what they discovered from inside of who those individuals were. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I feel like some of that, your thoughts there, totally encapsulates the mission of D3 and Warburg too.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, Coach, anything else you want to share or close out with?
Thank you. Yeah. You know, we all have change within us. And it first starts with ourselves, asking ourselves some of those hard, difficult questions, and praying that we can get the discover what those honest answers are, right? And when you can discover what those honest answers are, you are taking a step forward to making our campus, our state, our community, our world better, a better place.
Yeah, awesome. Well, with all that, like the conflicting messages, and I do believe that there has been some positivity being spread, just like I felt walking home from your message at Cullen Park last week. So Marcus, thanks again for sharing your message, allowing us to feel your pain, and I appreciate having you as a leader in our community.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into the Birdcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please do us a favor with a retweet at Warburg Knights on Twitter or a share on Facebook. Check out the official Warburg Athletics website at go-knights.net for all the up-to-date news and information, where you'll also find the latest podcast posted.